America, it's wake-up time. We're sounding the alarm today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, we have a very important broadcast today. Obviously, every moment we're on the air, we want it to be important. We want it to glorify the Lord. We want it to bless you and help you and strengthen you and equip you. But there are some critically important issues we'll be talking about today. You are listening to the right show at the right time. Michael Brown here, your listener-sponsored voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. I noticed this tweet that was sent out over the weekend from a young woman named Ash. She said this: "I don't like the weekends as much as the weekdays because the Line of Fire radio broadcast by Dr. Michael Brown isn't on." Then with a sad face and then exclamation point, "Tomorrow." She wrote that yesterday. Hey, Ash, just a shout out to you. That's very kind. A lot of people look forward to the weekends, free time or time to worship the Lord with family or time to do other things aside from normal work week. What a blessing to read that. Many times, even though I love the weekends, I'm often traveling and speaking and catching up on writing or just getting some rest time or doing things with Nancy. I often feel the same way because I can't do radio today. So thank you for those very kind words. And friends, I do hope and pray that the things we talk about will stir your heart and will give you the ability to stand and do what's right here in our society today. All of my friends listening on WMCA and elsewhere in the greater New York area, going to be addressing an issue specifically having to do with New Jersey. That's going to be coming up right after the first break. Later in the broadcast, everyone listening to me in the city of Charlotte, everyone listening on 960 AM or 105.7 FM, very important news affecting the city of Charlotte. Things will be happening 1 week from today. Everyone in Charlotte needs to know about this. We'll be talking about that a little later. But, boy, more tragic, painful news from the Middle East. ISIS terrorists kidnap Egyptian workers in Libya, Coptic Christians who were in Libya simply to be working. They were kidnapped, which means that ISIS must have a strong enough presence there in Libya. And on a video, they were then beheaded. Again, another world-shocking event. Now you're having more and more of the Muslim world trying to take them out. You have Egypt now beginning to get more involved. You've had Jordan, of course, attacking. They're creating outrage, but they're doing it, of course, in the name of Islam as well, and showing us some of the deep fractures and fissures that exist in Islam. We have some very relevant posts on our Facebook page. One of them is ISIS leaders dismissing the idea that Islam is a religion of peace and saying absolutely not, it is a religion of the sword. We have lengthy quotes from them. Allah has revealed Islam to be the religion of the sword. And the evidence for this is so profuse that only a heretic would argue otherwise. Then at the same time, radical Islamic killings in Denmark, in Copenhagen, shaking that nation, including a Jewish man killed in front of a synagogue in two shootings that took place over the weekend. Some people say, well, you know, the shooting there and other places, that was the lone wolf. Well, if you have enough lone wolves attacking your flocks, you have a wolf problem. When you have all that many radical Muslims doing these things, you have a radical Islamic problem. All right, stay with me. We come back. Very important news right in New Jersey.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to present to you a very bizarre-sounding proposition, but a true one. Michael Brown, welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. You live in California, all right? You live in New Jersey. You are struggling with your sexual identity. You're a child, you're 7 years old, and you say, you know, I'm really convinced I'm a boy trapped in a girl's body. Your parents say, all right, let's go to a counselor. Counselor meets with you and say, okay, we agree with you, and shortly we're going to put you on hormone blockers to stop the onset of puberty. And then when you're old enough as a teenager, you get sex change surgery and you'll be on hormones for the rest of your life. Perfectly legal. No problem whatsoever. All right, next scenario. You're 17 years old. You were sexually molested as a child. You've had a lot of confusion about your sexual orientation growing up. You realize you're attracted to the same sex. That troubles you. You want to be married and have children of your own in a heterosexual relationship. Your parents support you. You say, I'd like to sit down and talk to a professional counselor. Illegal. Illegal. Oh, that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's gotten even worse in New Jersey. I am joined now by Charles Lemandry. Everybody, please give me your very best ear now. Charles is double board certified in pretrial litigation and trial advocacy by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. He's also a member of the American Board of Trial Advocates and is admitted to practice law in California, New York, Washington, D.C., and before the United States Supreme Court. And he's an accomplished trial advocate, national reputation, well qualified to handle cases involving religious liberty issues. And now joining us on the Line of Fire, Charles, thanks so much for your time and coming on the air with us today.
Glad to be with you, Dr. Brown. Thanks for having me.
All right, Charles, for the benefit of our listeners who don't know the case with Jonah, which is a Jewish organization helping people with unwanted same-sex attraction and your involvement in that, could you give the overview before we get to the most recent developments?
Sure. It's what my opposition, the extremist Southern Poverty Law Center, calls a first-of-its-kind lawsuit in the nation. And they brought it under the very liberal New Jersey Consumer Fraud Act, which has standards of proof that make it a lot easier to bring these cases if someone believes they've somehow been cheated in some type of commercial transaction. And they've tried to graft this law onto kind of what you were talking about before, these statutes being passed in states like California and New Jersey to prevent people from getting help with unwanted same-sex attractions for minors. Except in the case of this lawsuit, they're trying to prevent even adults who want help with unwanted same-sex attractions. And the allegations in the lawsuit is that it's consumer fraud to say that you can help people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. It's their view you can't do that, that people can't change their sexual orientation. Even though, in fact, my clients have helped hundreds of people do that in their 12-year existence, and, of course, nationwide, other groups have helped thousands, if not tens of thousands, of people change their sexual orientation. In fact, when one considers that the total gay population in the United States, according to the National Institute of Health, is only 1.6% of the population, there's actually more ex-gays in the United States today than there are gay people. Mm. But despite all that, the Southern Poverty Law Center is trying to shut down this Jewish group, which is a nonprofit ministry, which was formed to help people first of the Jewish faith, because there was no such organization when they were formed, and the two founders and directors have adult kids that are gay, and they struggled for years, and they wanted to be able to use their experience to help families in a similar situation. And they founded this nonprofit, and since then they've expanded to include people of all faith or no faith, and not just with same-sex attraction issues, but with any type of sexual issues. It could be heterosexual addictions, it could be pornography addictions, it could be pedophilia type issues. And they're basically a free referral service. My clients, Arthur Goldberg and Elaine Burke, who founded Jonah, are not themselves professional counselor. So this is a labor of love for them. They put in 20, 40 hours a week and lots of their own money, make no salary whatsoever. And they'll help people find appropriate counselors for their problems across the nation, whether it's faith-based or not. And they don't charge a fee for that. Mm-hmm. They exist on donations, and they sometimes get referral fees from counselors that they send people to. And because they do this kind of work, the Southern Poverty Law Center is trying to sue them out of existence. Now, unlike these laws you talked about in California and New Jersey, which could result in some type of action against professionals' license in the form of some type of alleged ethical violation for helping minors change their sexual orientation. In the case of the Consumer Fraud Act, there's very heavy penalties, including the plaintiff's attorney's fees. And since the Southern Poverty Law Center, the last court hearing on February 5th, he had 15 attorneys show up. A lot of gay activist attorneys out of these big New York firms coming out of the woodwork all wanting to be part of this landmark case. And their attorney fees, we expect to probably be well over $3 million at this point. This case has gone on over 2 years. So it means bankruptcy for my client. Not just putting them out of business, but you know they sued two of my clients personally. So it would be personal bankruptcy. So they are trying to punish and intimidate, really, not just my clients, but anyone who does this kind of work nationwide. And the Southern Poverty Law Center has gone so far as to list 70 organizations that do this kind of work. Catholic, evangelical, secular, Mormon organizations, and are soliciting plaintiffs to sue them if they win this case. So this case is terribly important. We've incurred over $2 million in fees alone. If we lose and they start suing these 70 organizations, and they've indicated they will, you're talking about tens of millions, possibly $100 million, without exaggeration, if they sue them all. In fees, they're going to be incurred defending these organizations. The Southern Poverty Law Center has a $283 million endowment, okay? So they have no lack of funds. And so they get their attorney's fees if they win these cases. So this is a huge threat on an unprecedented scale against religious liberty. And what they've said is they want to use this case to shut down the religious right and silence the religious right. Because if they can prove that homosexuals can't change, then they want to stop all this discussion about whether or not it's sinful. You know, the latest Pew survey says half the people in the country believe it's sinful, and all major religions believe it's sinful. They don't want any type of moral judgment on them whatsoever. They feel that's an impediment to their agenda, that's offensive to them, and anybody who believes that, and their experts have said that, are basically, you know, homophobic and bigots. And so they want to use a legal club now beyond what's happening with the public debate all over the country on these issues to actually punish and put people out of business. And this is way beyond what you're hearing happening with the wedding industry, with the bakers and the florists and the wedding photographers. As bad as that is, you know, we're talking about fines in excess of $100,000, which is putting people out of business. We're talking about dragging people through litigation. In this case, so far 2 years, is going to trial in June 1st, so it'll be 2.5 years. We're talking over 6,000 hours of attorney time on my team with, you know, five and six attorneys against their 15. And we're talking about my clients' lives being turned upside down in the meantime, with tens of thousands of documents having to be produced, 40 depositions in over 12 states. It's just a huge undertaking to defend against this type of case when you have literally an army of lawyers. Now, I'll tell you, Dr. Brown, I've been doing litigation over 30 years, and normally litigation, as you would imagine, is motivated by some type of financial interest. So you're not going to let the cost of the litigation far outstrip what you can ever gain out of it monetarily. This has nothing to do with money. It's all about agenda and a political agenda that's insidious and is crushing and punishing and hurtful to good people. And that agenda is trying to steamroll over anybody that has religious convictions that stand against that agenda. And
all let me stop the issue.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let me just jump in for a moment. We've got a break coming up. You've laid out the urgency of this. And friends, this is affecting people we know. This is affecting our liberties. We're in a situation now in America where if someone says, here, Bruce Jenner is now perhaps going to become Brianne Jenner or something like that. I don't say that to demean his struggles. And yet he's being hailed as courageous and heroic. But you've got the SPLC using its massive financial resources to try to put people out of business who are simply providing counseling for people with unwanted same-sex attractions and who want help in dealing with those. This is a frontal assault on a freedom of speech, religion, and conscience. Remember, the SPLC, they had apologized last week for putting Dr. Ben Carson on their extremist list, a list I've been on for years. We'll be right back with Charles Lemandry.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
In a moment, we will go right back to my guest, Charles Lemandry. He is President and Chief Counsel of the Freedom of Conscience Defense Fund. One quick announcement. We have had such overwhelming interest in the new Messianic Jewish Family Bible, beautifully produced, wonderful new Tree of Life version. Now that we've received them and sent them out, people are writing to us and saying, beautiful, wonderful, it's beyond what their expectations were. So we're offering that again this week. We've reduced the price. We're paying the postage on it. Call 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's 1-800-278-9978 to order. Or just go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and you can watch a video about the Bible as well. And be sure to check out my latest article, Brian Williams and the Great Media Shakeup. I think you'll find it eye-opening. That's listed on latest article. So, Charles, again, all right, we lost Charles there. Betsy, not sure what happened, but please do reconnect with Charles for us. I'm going to try to give a little more background to make this clear, okay? All right. There is a suit being brought against Jonah, Jews offering new alternatives for healing. It used to be homosexuality, now for healing, just speaking more broadly about other types of sexual problems, addictions, things like that. And the plaintiffs are arguing that they were hurt, they were damaged by the council, and that this is like snake oil. It would be as if you could have a law against someone who counseled a human being. The human being actually wanted to become a 20-foot giant, and by counseling, they would now become a 20-foot giant. Well, they should be put out of business. That seems to be, that would be a matter of consumer fraud. That is the argument, that it is consumer fraud, and that is the attempt in terms of the court case. Now, what's outrageous is some of the recent rulings of the judge. At the very least, I want to encourage you to pray for Charles and his team and for Jonah. Even if it doesn't affect you directly, it affects you indirectly. This is an overt, aggressive silencing attempt. Charles, glad we got reconnected here. All right. There is a recent ruling by the board, by the judge, excuse me, that was somewhat outrageous. Key witnesses that you were going to bring, respected professionals, properly trained, properly recognized within the counseling industry. The judge has said, no, they cannot testify. Could you explain what happened?
Right. What happened was the Southern Poverty Law Center filed a motion to exclude defense experts. I filed a motion to exclude plaintiff's experts. He denied our motion with proviso that we could resubmit it in the form of evidentiary motions to exclude certain parts of the plaintiff's experts' testimony, but he granted the plaintiff's motion to exclude all but one of the defense experts on the grounds that, get this, all of their testimony is based on the false premise that homosexuality is a mental disorder. Therefore, their testimony is not credible and worthy to be heard in court. Well, first of all, not all the defense experts call it a mental disorder. But second of all, when you're talking about consumer fraud, you have to talk about a provable, verifiable fact that is false. Okay, whether or not a particular behavior rates as a disorder in terms of the diagnostic statistical manual used by the psychiatric and psychological professions is a value-laden opinion, and all the literature says that. For example, either they recently said that transgenders are normal. So if you're a man with a normal anatomy and you want to have your sex organs removed surgically, as far as they're concerned, that's not a mental disorder. Most recently, they tried to remove pedophilia from the diagnostic statistical manual as a mental disorder. And there was such a backlash, they had to put it back on and say, well, it's a mental disorder if you're actually abusing kids or if it's distressing you. But otherwise, if you're an adult male and just want to have sex with kids, but you're not doing it, that's not a mental disorder. This is so heavily politicized and ideological. Calling it a scientific fact, okay, is absurd. But unfortunately, that's where we're at in this case. They said it's a scientific fact that homosexuality is not a mental disorder. So if you call it that, it constitutes consumer fraud, and the experts will not be permitted to testify otherwise. And if they hold that view, nothing they have to say about change or any other aspect of the case is admissible. And that's despite the fact we put in tons of journal articles, evidence, declarations, sworn testimony that when the American Psychiatric and Psychological Association has declassified homosexuality as a disorder back in 1973-74 respectively, it was purely based on politics and ideology.
Right.
There was no scientific studies. There was no change in the body of knowledge. And we even submitted a certification from Dr. Nicholas Cummings, who made the motion as the then president of the American Psychological Association, saying that it was not their intent to change the stigmatization from homosexuals to anybody who thought that it was abnormal behavior. So despite all that, based largely on an ideological view of the matter as we see it, with no disrespect to our judge, we had this ruling that we can't call our expert witnesses other than our psychiatrist who's going to testify. There's no evidence that anything my client said or did cause the plaintiffs any harm. So even if there was some type of alleged misrepresentation, they still have no damages. The good part about this, Dr. Brown, is that, my lay clients who founded Jonah, since they're not professionals in psychiatry or psychology, they don't use terminology like mental illness or mental disease or mental defect. Do they call homosexual attractions and behavior disorder? Yes, but only in a religious context, because they're a Torah-based organization, and the Torah, of course, is the first five books of what we call the Christian Bible, including Genesis, which lays out pretty clearly what God's plan for human sexuality is between a man and a woman made in his image and likeness, who are called to be fruitful, multiply, and the only way that can happen through natural sexual relations. And so anything other than that, from a biblical perspective, is disorder. Now, the one thing the popular media
let me just jump in again. The constraints of radio as opposed to the courtroom. Friends, you can continue listening online at Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. We'll also be discussing later in the broadcast some news very pertinent for Charlotte, North Carolina. If you miss any of the broadcast, just go to the website later today. You can catch the rest of my interview with Charles Lemandry and pray that truth would triumph, that truth and justice would triumph. Pray. This is exhausting. This is overwhelming. This is bullying in many ways. Pray that truth would triumph and that God would strengthen all those standing up for the truth. And can I ask you one other thing? 4 o'clock today, an hour and a half from now, the leadership team at our various organizations is joining for prayer. We are praying for a very specific breakthrough in a specific area. No one's sick, no one's dying. But if you join us, 4 o'clock today, ask God to answer from heaven.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I so appreciate Charles Lemandry in the midst of his busy legal responsibilities and sacrificial work for righteousness, taking time to join us on the line of fire, President and Chief Counsel for the Freedom of Conscience Defense Fund. Charles, last couple of days, right before the weekend, there was some misreporting by the media about the court case. Could you explain what happened, what the fiction was, what the facts are?
Sure. And the main thing is the opposition lost on two very important points. One, they tried to get the judge to strike our religious liberty defense. And the court said, as long as my clients, even though we disagree with whether using the term mental disorder or some variation thereof would constitute consumer fraud, because it's an opinion, not a fact, you can't prove it. He did say if they use the word disordered in a religious context in terms of not conforming to the plan of God, that would not constitute consumer fraud because they have religious liberty right to do that. Well, my clients who have been sued, that founded Jonah, primarily Arthur Goldberg, he wrote a book, Torah Light in the Closet, all about how homosexual behavior does not conform with God's word in the Torah. So whenever he uses it, or his co-director Elaine Burr, either of whom are psychiatrists, psychologists, mental health care professionals, it's always in that context. So they don't say mental disease or defect, they just say disordered. So there's no consumer fraud there based on the judge's decision. And the other big point the opposition lost on that the media is not reporting is they wanted to say it's fraud to say someone's in change unless they have a complete transformation and don't have no hint of same-sex attraction left. So, you know, we liken it to the person who goes through AA. Even though they may not drink alcohol for 20 years after the program, if they were ever attracted to it, the opposition will say the program was a failure, and it's consumer fraud to say you can help people overcome an alcohol addiction. The judge didn't buy that. He said if you can change your behavior, if you could change if not your attractions entirely, lessen your attractions, you know, that's a change that the jury can decide whether there was any consumer fraud there. I'm not going to say as a matter of law, like you did on the mental disorder issue, that it's consumer fraud to talk about change as something less than a complete transformation where you're free of any of your attractions. You know, of course, we know as Christians that given, you know, our fallen natures, you're always going to be attracted to something that you have to fight against, and by the grace of God, you can overcome, whatever it is, for any of us. But the other side doesn't accept our worldview, and for them, if you've got an attraction, particularly a sexual one, you should act on it, and there should be no impediment, and no one even suggests you should do otherwise or try to overcome it. So that's the difference in the worldviews, which are mutually exclusive.
All right, and we just have 1 minute before the next break, and then I've got one more question for you on the other side of the other break. And thanks so much for your time. But very quickly, and I don't know if you can comment on this, is there anything to discredit the testimonies against Jonah? Do you have evidence that discredits the testimonies, or is that something you can't talk about in this context?
Is there evidence to discredit what my client does?
No. To discredit those who are suing your client, saying that they were harmed. Yes.
So much evidence. I mean, these people have, unfortunately, very difficult and painful stories that brought them to Jonah in the first place, which continue on after they left. And they all left Jonah on good terms, raving about the organization, did not get identified before they came, left the program early, and then gay identified later, fell in the hands of gay activists, and 2 years later brought this lawsuit claiming harm that's nowhere documented in the record. So I've got tons and tons of evidence to show that really this whole thing has been a contrivance of certain gay activists to shut down the industry nationally. And these four plaintiffs just don't have a legitimate claim. I mean, they literally left the program early on good terms and waited 2 years to bring a lawsuit, and then first complained about it.
Then retrospectively, right, this is what's hurt me. It's like the guy married 30 years who tells his wife, I never loved you. All right, listen, friends, stand with Charles. We'll find out when we come back practically what we can do and how this affects everybody, how this could even affect pastors and church counselors. We'll be right back.
The line. Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Again, friends, stand with Charles Lemandry and his team in prayer. It's the very least we can do. Others can help in another tangible way, as well as he is standing for religious freedom and rights for client self-determination. In litigation, the Southern Poverty Law Center has brought against Jonah Jews, offering new alternatives for healing. Charles, ultimately, aside from our faith in God and our trust that truth would triumph, when the case is finally submitted to a jury, even though in certain ways with key witnesses you wanted to bring, your hands have been tied in that regard, what is it that gives you confidence that a fair ruling will be made on this? What makes your case so compelling and the SPLC's case so weak?
What makes it so compelling, Dr. Brown, is the fact that our main theme in the case is going to, we believe, resonate well with the jury, and from our research, it will, in fact, do exactly that, because it appeals to both conservatives and liberals. And our main theme is people have the right to self-determination. They have the right to make their own choices about their future and about how they're going to deal with certain issues in their life, particularly their private, sensitive nature, like their sexuality or sexual orientation. And if a person, particularly an adult, wants help with a particular issue with same-sex attraction, and they have a chance, any kind of a chance, in this case, we believe, a very good chance, they put the time and effort in, of making substantial progress, and in many cases, completely freeing themselves of same-sex attraction, that chance should not be taken away from them by an extreme group like the Southern Poverty Law Center. The plaintiffs are like people who go to Weight Watchers and say they wanted to lose 50 pounds, quit the program early, and didn't, and now resentful, and don't want anybody to go to Weight Watchers because they think it stigmatizes them if people go there and lose weight and say, well, what's wrong with my being fat? You're going there and losing weight. It makes me look fat. They don't want anybody to go and experience the happiness and the fulfillment and the satisfaction of being successful and making a kind of change in their life that gives them a sense of purpose and a sense of fulfillment that they didn't previously have. That will resonate with the jury. Why should they have the right to shut down a program and other programs like this that help people that they want to freely choose because for religious or any other reason, that's what they feel is right for them. And I think that's a winning message.
Will you be able to call people to testify who have been helped through Jonah?
Excellent, yes. We've had 17 success story witnesses deposed, and they all did a very good job. Some were absolutely phenomenal, saying exactly what I just said. It's one thing for you to protect your rights. Now you're going after my rights. This is helping me. Don't take this away from me. I'm happier. I'm healthier now. One of our witnesses has had sex with 1,000 men since he's gone through the program now. He's developed opposite sex attractions, and he's dating a woman. He's going, how could I would be dead without this program because I descended into sadomasochism to the point where it was getting dangerous. Some guy was hemorrhaging from the mouth from what we were doing. He goes, I realized I was going to kill someone or be killed, and I had to get out of that. This program saved my life. We've got that kind of testimony that we're going to be putting before this jury. The plaintiffs have no one to come in and say it didn't work because other than them, in the 12 years my clients have operated, no one else has ever complained, nor did they. When they were in the program, they raved about it and encouraged their friends to join it. But I've got these witnesses who have gone through it successfully are going to come back and say, this is an excellent program. Please don't stop it.
Yeah, and knowing Arthur Goldberg personally, these folks do what they do sacrificially and ideologically because they care about people. They want to help. There's not an alternative motive with it. And at the risk of making a mundane comment about something like this, I fly constantly. I'm on different airlines. And when you're on different airlines enough, you're always going to hear someone getting off the plane, I will never fly this airline again. There's always going to be somebody disgruntled out there, but then you have all of the satisfied flyers, and you have to just say, okay, I'm sure every professional counselor has disgruntled clients, and be it Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig or CrossFit gyms that people exactly. Didn't work for me or I got injured or whatever. You're going to hear that, but the assault on rights is such, it brings me to my last question, which is this. It's so outrageous that these things have happened, And that, as we've been saying for 10 years plus and others before us, that gay activism, not your individual person who identifies as gay or lesbian, but gay activism has become the principal threat to freedom of religion, speech, and conscience in America.
Yes.
Worst case scenario, SPLC wins, and we're not expecting that for a moment, but worst case scenario, could this actually be something that gay activists say, okay, now we're going after the churches because they're still a bastion?
Well, in this case, in the plaintiff's depositions, one of the formerly Orthodox Jewish, ironically, well, it shouldn't be surprising, three Orthodox Jewish have all left their faith. One is Mormon, he's left his faith, and they've gay identified, but they came in not knowing whether they were gay or straight, being attracted to men and women, and being very devout in their faith. Since they've gay identified, they've given all of that up. But what they said is they were brought there because these people in their faith-based groups, the Orthodox Jews in the one case, the Mormon elders in the other, were saying this is sinful and it's wrong and you shouldn't do it. And he said they're the ones really to blame, and that if they win this case, sue those people for sending them to Jonah because homosexual activity is wrong and that you need help in getting yourself out of that type of lifestyle. So it's not a veiled threat. It's a direct threat. They believe that ultimately, and the Southern Poverty Law Center is posted on their website, they want to silence the religious right. So first they're going to do that by using this case in some type of strategic way to say, hey, look, even the courts have said it's not disordered, so, you know, religion is wrong. But beyond that, they want to find a way to sue all these religious counselors, and they've listed Catholic Courage and other groups on their website, as we said, that are religiously based like Jonah, for using the term disordered. And they're not going to be happy whether they're using it in a religious sense or not.
Yep.
They're going to say, you're stigmatizing gays, you're promoting bias and bigotry, and you have to stop. And I have no doubt that's where this is headed.
Yeah, and look, when I got put on their list of one of the 30 new leaders of the radical right, along with David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, and Malik Zulu Shabazz, new Black Panthers, I was there because I was, quote, anti-gay. On the one hand, I took
that's
it as
right.
a badge of honor. On the other hand, I call them to account for it. And just last week, I said, hey, you apologize to Ben Carson. You owe me an apology. But we know where they're going. They want us to be looked at the same way the KKK, neo-Nazis
right.
are looked at. That is their ideology. It's radical. And we're praying that it will continue to be exposed so that they lose the credibility that they built on their former work. Charles, is there a website people can go to? What's the best place to go?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Brown. It's www.conscience, C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-S. I can't spell it. ConscienceDefense.org.
All right.
People get confused with the spelling of the word conscience. But it's www.ConscienceDefense.org, C-O-N-S-C-I-E, not S-E, .org.
Right. ConscienceDefense.org. All right.
And it'll tell you all about the Jonah case and about our other work that we're doing to promote religious freedom.
All right, folks, look, you may be able to help in different ways, but at the very least, let's be standing with Charles. Go to the website, ConscienceDefense.org. This is something that affects every one of us. God bless you, Charles. I know this can be overwhelming. I also know your hope is in God. So we are with you step for step. And if there's anything you ever need to shout out to folks all over New Jersey and the nation, just let us know and we'll do it on the air here.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, friends, we are not making up stories here. We are not looking for the latest scare headline. My confidence is in the Lord. My confidence is in God who sits on his throne. My confidence, 2 Corinthians 13:8, we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. Proverbs 21:30, there's no wisdom or counsel against the Lord. So our trust is in him. Our trust is in the truth. I'm simply saying be alert. Be awake. 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What's the point? The point is there are many ways that we are attacked in our faith. There are many ways that the world comes against us and spiritual forces come against us. And what does Scripture tell us? Wake up. Be alert. Coming to a city near you. And this case brought by the SPLC is something that could affect Christian counselors, Christian ministries, even churches across the nation. Don't say, well, it hasn't hit me yet. No, no, no. That's selfish, self-centered, small-minded, short-sighted, and that's not who you are. That's not who you are as a listener to The Line of Fire, and more importantly, as a member of the Messiah's body, the church. All right, we'll come back with more. In fact, I want to get back to the Middle East for a moment. We'll do that when we come back right here on The Line of Fire. And if you want to call, comment on what we just talked about, I do have a few minutes, 866-342, to take some calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And we will conquer Rome by Allah's permission, the promise of our Prophet, peace be upon him.
ISIS now saying they will conquer Rome. Is there any surprise in their aggressive mentality? No, no. They have in mind world conquest. Will they succeed? Of course not. Of course not. They have in mind the conquest of Jerusalem. Will they succeed? Of course not. However, they are doing terrible damage in the meantime. Many, many lives are being destroyed. Horrific brutality. Children sold into slavery, buried alive. Atrocities beyond anything most of us could imagine taking place on a daily basis by their hands, and foreigners, Westerners, joining their ranks, as crazy as that is. The bishop of the Coptic Christians, the Coptic population of Egypt, issued a statement. This is yesterday, it is with deep feelings of sorrow and pain that we received confirmation earlier this evening of the brutal murder of Coptic Christians in Libya at the hands of Daesh, which is Islamic State. While every life is sacred and every death tragic, the particular brutality demonstrated in this instance and others like it shows not only a disregard for life, but a gross misunderstanding of its sanctity and equal value in every person. Remember, these were Coptic Christians, Egyptians working in Libya, who were then kidnapped and then slaughtered. The bishop says, our prayers are particularly with the families of these young Coptic men who were fathers, brothers, sons, and friends of many within their tight-knit rural communities, in which their absence will cause significant loss and sorrow. The families are not only deprived of breadwinners who had traveled to Libya to support them, but of the joy that they bring when they return. While it may seem illogical or incomprehensible, we also pray for those who have carried out these horrific crimes. What a statement by the bishop. That the value of God's creation in human life may become more evident to them, and in this realization, that the wider effects of pain brought by this and other acts of brutality may be realized and avoided. We pray for an end to the dehumanization of captives who become mere commodities to be bartered, traded, and negotiated with. We cannot remember our Coptic brothers also without remembering all those who have lost their lives in equally brutal circumstances. Journalists, aid workers, medical staff, religious leaders, a young pilot, and communities that are considered incompatible with a fringe and intolerant element. In the midst of the sorrow, however, we must continue to dig deeper for the joy that comes from an understanding that this life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away, James 4:14, and that true glory and joy are found in an eternal life prepared for all those who live in and for love and peace. It is only through this understanding that we can continue to live according to the words of 1 Peter 3:15, as demonstrated in the life and witness of the Coptic Church and her children over the centuries. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Isn't that remarkable that he is not calling for blood? Oh, I want to see justice for these murderers. Ideally, I want to see them repent and turn themselves in, and then receive the fitting earthly punishment for their crimes while receiving complete forgiveness from God, that they can spend whatever time they have left on earth being ambassadors of reconciliation and mercy. I want to see that. If that does not happen, I want to simply see justice and an end to their murderous ways. But how extraordinary that the bishop reaches out with this statement in the midst of the suffering, which again is unimaginable for us unless we've been touched personally by something this intense and this dangerous. Just want to play one more clip. This is CNN's Michael Holmes, and you will hear from Peter Bergen, the national security analyst. Clip number one, Joey, comments from our government about this.
ISIS has had a number of groups that have sort of recruited themselves to the ISIS standard in the past several months. We've seen in southern Afghanistan a group that was part of the Taliban suddenly self-identifying as part of ISIS. We've seen in Yemen a group saying that it's part of ISIS. We're seeing, now, of course, also in Libya. One of the questions is to what extent is ISIS, kind of in command and control of any of these affiliates? And I think with the events of this terrible beheadings, we actually have something of an answer, because these Coptic Christians appeared in the Dabiq magazine of ISIS, which is sort of their in-flight magazine in English, last week, was suggesting that if not command and control, there's certainly communication between the Libyan affiliate and the affiliate in Syria about matters of importance to both of them.
Yeah, it reminds me of reading a couple weeks ago how members of Hamas are now joining ISIS because Hamas is not radical enough. I just noticed this post on Facebook. Someone takes me to task. You keep mentioning your love for God in so many of your posts. If you're a Christian, which I suspect you are, start acting like one, all caps, exclamation point. Stop spreading all your hate posts about Islam. You base all your feelings on a minority. Jesus would not like you to act in this manner. By resenting Islam, you are resenting God himself, as it was he who created Islam by sending us his last prophet. So here is a Muslim taking me to task. And I said, radical Muslims represent a good 250 million people, perhaps more. And I will continue to expose radical Islam. And I enjoin every Muslim to join me in doing so. What should our attitude be? It should be one of sobriety. It should be one of waking up to the fact that there is a spiritual war and that there is a very real physical attack on our faith as well. We should be worshiping God as God. We should be living lives that are aggressive to get out the message of the gospel. Let us do good as aggressively as others are doing evil. Let us show love as aggressively as others are showing hate. Let us give ourselves to spiritual warfare as aggressively as others are giving themselves to these spiritual atrocities. And then, right here in America, let us recognize the degree to which we are under cultural upheaval from 1,000 different fronts, and let us live holy lives ourselves. And what does Paul say is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God? One thing that gets me most excited about our new Bible that we are distributing, not ours in terms of we translate it, but I'm part of the translation committee, the Tree of Life version, the new Messianic Jewish Bible made for all believers, not just for Messianic congregations, beautifully produced. It's only $70 plus postage. We're having it now a third week by popular demand, bringing it back $60, and we're paying the postage. One of the most beautifully produced Bibles you'll ever see. One thing that really excites me is that more people are going to be getting into the Word because they like the translation so much and they like the Bible so much. So call right now. Order as many copies as you want. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. You can order right there. My bottom line today, we are in an age of extraordinary spiritual attack from many, many different angles. How then should we live? As those who are awake and alert and vigilant. America, it's wake up time. We're sounding the alarm today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the Line of Fire today. Oh yes, wake up call time. I just spent almost an hour talking to a religious rights attorney about some chilling, shocking things happening in New Jersey that could affect the nation. To hear about that, go to the website, sdrbrown.org, later today, and you can listen to that first hour. I think you'll want to. This hour, we've got a wake-up call, in particular, especially for those living in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have been on the air continuously, daily, 5 days a week, now 2 hours a day in Charlotte for March, makes 7 years, initially weekly, and then I think July will make 7 years daily. Charlotte, North Carolina is the one city in America that gets both hours on radio live, 960 AM, 105.7 FM. Everyone, please give me your best ear. I want you to picture this for a moment, and then I'll be bringing on a guest who is going to help explain what's happening in Charlotte, the significance of it. But let's picture this, all right? Let's picture this. You're watching Andy Griffith a few decades back in the 60s. Andy Griffith, Leave It to Beaver, you're with your family. You fall asleep, close your eyes, you wake up, you put the TV back on, and to your shock, you go from channel to channel. They're the most scantily clad people you've seen. There are all kinds of sex scenes. There's all kinds of nudity, and some of it blotted out. You think, did I wake up in hell? What happened? What happened? And you're hearing discussions about all kinds of issues that you can't even imagine. What do they mean by sadomasochism? What are you talking about? What is polyamory? I've never heard of that. What? People are losing their businesses because they won't comply with homosexual marriage? What world did I wake up in? How is this happening? Yeah, that would be the level of culture shock. Well, in the city of Houston, Texas, pastors joined together with tens of thousands of concerned citizens who oppose the aggressive bill of the aggressive lesbian activist Mayor Anise Parker. And they strongly protested, in particular, the part of the bill that if a man identifies as a woman, he could use the ladies' bathroom, which would mean that since there's no test for is this person really who they claim to be other than what they say, that you could have a heterosexual predator, not to mention a confused person that's not a predator, but you could have a heterosexual predator take advantage of it just to be around ladies in a bathroom. And there are cases of this. But you say, but that's not, okay, that's Houston. All right, there's an outrage in Houston, and Pastor Steve Riggle will be on with me, God willing, later in the week to discuss it. But friends, there's an attempt to push this right through here in Charlotte. There is an attempt to push this through right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. You could easily have situations where a business that does not want to participate in homosexual, quote, wedding ceremony, a baker, a florist, a photographer, could be sued, could be put out of business in Charlotte, North Carolina. The vote, the hearing is a week from today, and then the vote will follow. Wake up! Wake up! City of Charlotte, Christians in Charlotte, pastors in Charlotte, if you're listening in Charlotte, get on the phone right now. Call a friend. Tell them to tune in. Tweet out a message. Post it on Facebook. Tune in now. We're going to be focusing on this when we come back.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, this is for everyone listening across the nation, but in particular, if you're in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, please listen carefully. What you're going to hear is fact, not fiction. If you are a listener and you differ with anything being said, you dispute it, you say it's not accurate, phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH, because we are going to present facts right now. About to be joined by Tammy Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the North Carolina Values Coalition. She was chairwoman of Vote for Marriage North Carolina, the official referendum committee that successfully passed the North Carolina Marriage Amendment. Many other credentials, a licensed attorney as well. Tammy, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for inviting me to be on your show.
Well, my joy to have you, Tammy, but really a sober moment here in the greater Charlotte, North Carolina area. I gave just the little beginning to the story at the end of the last segment, but please let our listeners know across America, but in particular in Charlotte, what's going on, what the stakes are, what this bill is all about.
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because it's very important to get this information into the hands of every person that lives in the city of Charlotte or deals with the city of Charlotte, because the city council will be voting on an ordinance there on Monday, February 23rd, which would include in its already enacted non-discrimination laws special rights for on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. So this would elevate the rights of homosexuals and transsexuals to the point that they could file lawsuits and or seek other recriminations against businesses and private citizens in the city of Charlotte if they are, quote-unquote, discriminated against on the basis of their sexual orientation or gender identity. This would apply in the city of Charlotte to all businesses that contract with the city, so that those businesses would now have to have a non-discrimination policy that protects homosexuals and transsexuals, even if it violates their deeply held religious beliefs. But further, and even greater than that, it would apply to all public accommodations in the city. And public accommodations are virtually any business or nonprofit that serves the public. It could be anything from a restaurant owner to a church daycare facility to a school to a private school to a locker room to an athletic facility like the, you know, where the Charlotte Hornets play. This will impact virtually everyone in the city of Charlotte. And so this has been called in other cities, they coined the phrase bathroom bill. And this is exactly what was attempted in the city of Houston, which is now being battled out in the court.
Yep.
But pastors in the city of Houston stood up to this when their city council passed a similar ordinance, and they have collected the signatures necessary to put the ordinance on the ballot to a vote of the people. And that's what's on. That's what's working its way through the court system, is whether they actually got the signatures required for the ballot.
Right. In fact, Pastor Steve Riegel's been on with me several times to discuss this. We had friends who participated in the rally in Houston, and the city attorney David Feldman invalidated the signatures. They had over 50,000. They only needed 70,000. They're claiming that they weren't signed on the right line, or so, just completely outrageous. It's basically saying, hey, we don't care what the people say. We're going to push this through. But right. I'm reading from a legal analysis by the Alliance Defending Freedom. And they say the ordinance presents, among others, the following legal concerns. One, it will infringe First Amendment free speech and free exercise rights by requiring business owners to engage in certain activities or support certain messages in violation of their religious beliefs. I would not imagine that I could go to a print shop owned by a Muslim and say, I need these flyers handed out. I need 10,000 of these for an outreach we're doing saying the Quran is not true. The Bible is God's word. Believe in Jesus. Renounce Muhammad. I could not expect for a moment that I could take that person to court for politely declining business that they would find offensive to the core of their religion. Yet we've seen in state after state, not just individuals, but even the attorneys general of different states saying, okay, if a couple comes in, they've been clients of yours for 20 years, but now they are, quote, getting married, two men or two women. You're a photographer, and you say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. That would violate my Christian beliefs. That they could be taken to court. According to what the Alliance Defending Freedom is saying and what you're telling us, Tammy, that could happen in the city of Charlotte?
Well, that's exactly right. And the example that you gave is a great one because it's actually happening in Kentucky. There's a tea shop owner there. He screens T-shirts for a living, and he was approached by the Gay and Straight Alliance to screen T-shirts for a gay pride parade in Lexington, Kentucky. And he politely said that it violated his religious beliefs and asked that they go find another T-shirt shop to screen the T-shirts. And he is being sued and harassed unmercifully just for exercising his religious beliefs about marriage and about gay rights. And so this could happen, and it has happened. I could give you example after example. You know, some of the cases that are before the courts right now are involve things like photographers and florists. You probably have heard of the case of Elaine and Jonathan Huguenin from New Mexico.
Of course.
Who operate a photography company, and they got approached by a lesbian couple to photograph their wedding, and they politely declined on the basis that it violated their religious beliefs. And this couple has not only been fined $7,000, but they took their case all the way up to the New Mexico Supreme Court, who basically sided with the lesbian couple, and the basis for that was the New Mexico sexual orientation and gender identity non-discrimination laws. And so that case has made its way to the final destination, and it's because of a law like this one that's being proposed in Charlotte.
Right, and again, case after case like this across the country, in some cases potential fines up to $200,000. In the case of a grandmother who has employed gays and lesbians, who has served gay and lesbian customers for years, when she politely told a long-term customer, for her, the floral arrangement, that's something she puts her heart and soul into. It's an expression of who she is, and she couldn't do it in good conscience before God for two men or for two women, quote, being married. Look, I imagine if there was a florist shop that was owned by a very passionately gay activist couple, and you had conservative Christians that were actively working against gay activism, they'd say, "Look, we can't do this. We don't want to participate in your wedding." Oh, fine, it's your prerogative.
Right.
But no,
right.
No, you don't have a prerogative, and this bill would try to take away your prerogative. You would be found guilty of discrimination by the law. All right, I've got a few more questions for you, Tammy, but what can people do? What do they need to know? Is there a website they can go to? Is there a place they should show up? What should we do living in the city of Charlotte?
Well, first of all, we're asking people to write letters and send emails and make phone calls to all of the members of the Charlotte City Council. And the North Carolina Values Coalition sent an email out last week with all of the email addresses for these members of the city council. If you go to ncvalues.org, it's up on our homepage on the left-hand side, and you can click on the link there on the story about Charlotte, and you can have access to the phone numbers and email addresses of all the city council members. But secondly, we're hosting with some other groups in Charlotte, a forum on Thursday evening this week. We don't have all the details ironed out yet, but this will be a public forum to inform the people of Charlotte and especially pastors and churches about the implications of this ordinance, because it is huge. This is as big as what happened in Houston. And then third, we're asking people to come to a rally on the 23rd of February, that's next Monday afternoon at 4:30 in front of the city office complex.
All right, we'll come right back and give you the details on that. That's a week from today. If you live anywhere near Charlotte, please come out, be part of that. And right now, go to NC, as in North Carolina, ncvalues.org. Click on Urgent Protect Public Restrooms.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let's go back to this issue, the ordinance that is being proposed in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm joined by Tammy Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the North Carolina Values Coalition. Tammy, do you feel personally that if someone's working their job, they're a bank teller, they're a computer programmer, they're doing whatever they're doing, just working a job, and this person identifies as gay or lesbian, that they're working their job like everybody else, they're contributing citizen to the workplace, do you think that person should be able to be fired simply because of how they identify and their sexual orientation?
Well, that's a tough question, because as Christians, you know, we're called to be full of grace, and but we're also called to be salt and light. The whole point here is that the government doesn't need to get involved in this issue as to whether a business owner has the ability to hire or fire someone. This is an issue that should be left to private businesses and to individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I would not advocate not hiring someone or firing someone just because they're homosexual. However, there are some jobs in which that may have an impact on how well they can perform their duties. And if so, the business owner should have the ability to make that decision.
Got it. So ultimately, what ends up happening is we want to be fair to everyone. We understand that you might have a certain situation. Look, if there was some elementary school teacher who was an out and proud lesbian who wanted to influence kids into not recruiting them sexually, but influence their ideology and have a picture of her and her partner and say that we're going to be mommies soon. No, I wouldn't want that being taught to a little child, obviously. But again, there has to be discretion. There has to be fairness, equity for all. But that's not what happens with these bills. They end up going in very, very different directions. So the Alliance Defending Freedom has said that another implication from this bill is it will require. Now, this is a team of attorneys drafted this, that the bill being presented in Charlotte will require businesses, private clubs, and perhaps even churches. But even if not that, and other houses of worship, certainly businesses, private clubs, to make their restrooms open to both sexes and also force fitness centers to make their restrooms, locker rooms, and shower rooms open to both sexes. This will violate the constitutional right to privacy and place these entities at risk of lawsuits. So you may have a man who's convinced he's a woman, he cross-dresses, he wants to be able to use the ladies' room, he's not a sexual predator. Well, I can understand plenty of ladies saying, hey, we're uncomfortable. This is for biological women, for females. And then you're going to have some other guy. He could be a heterosexual predator, and he just wants to go in and be like a peeping Tom, or he gets excited about being around women in a bathroom for some perverse way, and he's heterosexual. He could do it, and there are documented cases of people doing it. But this bill, allegedly,
exactly,
for, quote, transgender rights, would make this the law in the city of Charlotte. I mean, it's outrageous.
Exactly. Can you imagine field trips to the city museum for grade school age children? Or if you're a homeschooling mom, taking your children into the city to a public park and one of them needs to go to the bathroom. The possibilities are endless. This is going to apply to all of the athletic facilities in Charlotte. Every gymnasium in Charlotte is now going to open its locker room to men and women alike. We will just have no distinction between the genders when it comes to public restrooms and locker rooms, because this ordinance will mandate that a man can walk into any women's restroom he chooses, and a woman can walk into any men's restroom she chooses, and no one has the right to keep them out. In fact, if they tried to keep them out, they would subject themselves to a lawsuit. So this is outrageous. This is what we call the bathroom bill part of this this ordinance, and it's something that every person that has some expectation of privacy when they walk into a locker room or a restroom ought to be concerned about.
Now, one of the exciting things that happened in Houston was that black pastors, white pastors, Hispanic pastors, others joined together, and the pastors, megachurch pastors, helped lead the way in standing against this outrageous bill. It has nothing to do with our love for all human beings. It has to do with societal sanity. It has to do with boundaries and proprieties. It has to do with the fact that ultimately you're talking about gay activists putting religious groups in the closet, business owners in the closet, and causing all kinds of uncomfortable and potentially ugly situations in the most private places in our society in the name of, quote, LGBT rights. It's an overstep. It's an outrage. How can pastors get involved? And what's your sense right now on the pulse of pastors? Are they awake and alert, or do we need to sound the alarm louder, Tammy?
Well, I think some of them are awake and alert, but many of them don't even know about this yet, or they don't realize the impact of it and the far-reaching impact that it could even impact churches. And so we need pastors to rise up. We need them to get their congregations in a battle mode. We need to have people come out and tell the city council that they cannot pass outrageous ordinances like this and expect to be reelected to the city council. We need people standing at the city council meeting next Monday night and speaking to the city council. You can go online to the city council website and sign up to speak at the meeting, but you must sign up ahead of time. And so we need the churches to bring people out to stand up to these so-called leaders in the city of Charlotte and tell them that this is not leadership. This is, in fact, some kind of cruel joke on the city and the businesses that do business with the city.
All right, so again, if you could just give us the details, Monday night, where should folks be meeting to do this?
This is outside the City of Charlotte City Complex. It's at 600 East 4th Street in downtown Charlotte. And they should arrive about 4:15. The rally will start at 4:30 and go until 5:30, and then we will go into the chambers of the Charlotte City Council to take a seat and to show the city council that there are lots of people in the city of Charlotte who oppose this measure. And hopefully we will have a lot of people signed up to speak at the city council meeting to express their outrage over even the potential of this type of ordinance passing in the city of Charlotte. But stay tuned also for a city forum on Thursday night to be held by groups that oppose this measure. And we'll get back with more information.
Great.
That.
Yeah, and I'm in dialogue with some folks about that right now during breaks. Tammy, thanks for what you do. Stand strong. The societal good, righteousness, will triumph. God bless you, Tammy. Thanks so much.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let me speak to you heart to heart, all right? Oh, before I do that, part of my heart to heart, would you join me in prayer in about 30 minutes, if you can? If you can, all right? We are gathering our senior leaders from our different ministry organizations this afternoon. Fire Church, that's the home-based congregation in Concord, North Carolina. Fire School of Ministry, that's the school of which I'm president, that raises up and sends out workers around America and around the world. As you hear about the atrocities taking place in the Muslim world, radical Muslims killing Christians, killing Muslims, killing others, we have workers in many parts of key parts of the Muslim world, some of the most volatile, sharing the gospel, being witnesses for the Lord, helping the needy. That's our School of Ministry. Fire International is our missions organization that oversees them. So we'll be gathering from my own ministry, Ask Dr. Brown, Fire School, Fire Church, Fire International. We are praying for a very specific breakthrough in a key area. Everybody's healthy. Nobody's sick or dying. That's not it. We're experiencing blessing, but we need God to work and do something very special and supernatural. So we're coming together to pray beginning at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 3 o'clock Central, and then wherever you are around the country, around the world. So if you're able to pray at that time, or between now and then, or a little later in the day, just agree that God would answer according to His will. I don't want to share any more. I don't want to say more because I just want you to pray. That's the goal of this. But would you do that? All right, so talking to you heart to heart, talking to you honestly, candidly, all right? I am not living my life as if the dam is coming down and the flood is going to overtake society. And I am the one with now 9 fingers plugging 9 holes, and now there's a 10th, now there's 11th, and now I've got all 10 toes plugging them, and it's about to come down. I don't live like that. Number one, we can only do what we do. We're responsible to do what we do. We are responsible to be obedient. We are responsible to stand for what's right. We are responsible to honor the Lord. We are responsible to be people of prayer. We are responsible to be people of action. And above and beyond that, infinitely above and beyond that, is our God who sits on the throne and rules and reigns as King. If everything I was standing for in society, pro-life movement, pro-morality movement, pro-family movement, pro-marriage movement, fighting against human trafficking with some of our grads doing that, If all of these different moral, social, cultural issues were to fall apart completely, and everything I stood for was to go in the opposite direction, Jesus is still Lord. God is still my Father. The Great Commission still goes forth. Everything in the world or society or Satan, sin, mean for evil, God can redeem for good. And I would expect God to redeem for good. Nonetheless, we're standing for what's right. Nonetheless, we're passionate about it. Nonetheless, if something happens on our watch because we are too indifferent or apathetic or ignorant or lazy or unconcerned or theologically misinformed, that we don't take a stand, then that's all the more grievous. That's all the more a matter of concern. That's my issue here. Wake up, my friends, all over Charlotte. Again, easiest place to get info and find the numbers to call for the city council leaders or the email addresses is NC Values, North Carolina Values, ncvalues.org. You'll see an urgent announcement there. Click on it. Take a minute, just draft something and send it to the different city council members. Be polite, be respectful, but ask them to vote against the passage of this bill that will do far more harm than good. And then pray.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You see, when God laid these things on my heart over 10 years ago, this is not on my radar. These issues were not on my radar. Oh, moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, that was on my radar, but not issues of gay activism. I mean, that was a minor part of many, many other larger issues I was looking at. And it remains a subset to the larger issues, which are issues of sexual anarchy, which are issues of the attack on the meaning of marriage and family, which are issues of what our kids are educated on, which are issues of people standing for morality in the business place, and on and on. But friends, we can't ignore this. You know how many people have come to me over the years and said, wow, now I understand why you're addressing this? This was not my idea. This is not the kind of thing that you just say, oh, you know what? I'm looking to add more controversy. I'm looking to have people hate me more. I'm looking to get put on hate lists. I'm looking to get maligned in the ugliest terms imaginable. I'm looking for people that I love and care for to think that I hate their guts. Oh, yeah, just what I want to do. I'm looking to get involved in something where churches that would have invited me to speak before are afraid to because they don't know if I'm going to bring up a moral and cultural issue and they're afraid to touch it themselves. I'm doing it. No, I'm not some martyr. I'm not some martyr. I'm blessed. I'm enjoying the favor of the Lord. And people that hate me, I don't think anyone's trying to actually do me physical violence. We all stand together, whoever we are, whatever our ideological background, whether you identify as heterosexual, homosexual, whoever. We mourn over the lives of people getting beheaded around the world and atrocities taking place, and those people are suffering. I'm simply saying this is not what you take on because you think, oh, it's going to help the ministry, or, oh, I need another area of controversy. Friends, I give myself to Jewish ministry, Jewish outreach to my people, literally day and night for the rest of my life and never have a dull moment. I could give myself to helping with the Great Commission, pouring into our students, grads, and myself going around the world and never have a dull moment. I'd give the rest of my life to biblical scholarship, studying the scriptures, teaching, seeking improved translations, mentoring younger scholars. I could do that without ever having a dull moment. I could give myself just to preaching all over America, seeking to stir the church for revival, and never have a dull moment. And on and on it goes. And these are all things that our ministry is involved in. I'm addressing these things. It's not against my will. I'm quite glad to obey the Lord and take this up, and I do it joyfully before Him. I'm not complaining. I'm simply saying I'm doing this in obedience because these are major areas that we simply cannot ignore. So if you live in Charlotte, you can do something about it. I am going to be out of town at important meetings previously scheduled months before I knew of any of this, but we are going to have a large turnout by God's grace. What would it look like if thousands of Christians, I mean, we'll get hundreds, I don't know, but if thousands of Christians showed up? If you're part of a large congregation, just your congregation showing up would make a massive impact. It's got to be multi-ethnic. It's got to be black and white and Hispanic and other ethnic minorities or majorities represented. It's got to be a cross-section because it affects the whole city. And our voices need to be united for righteousness, for morality, for family, for social sanity. So be there Monday. You heard the info from Tammy Fitzgerald. If you didn't get it, just go to ncvalues.org. All right, let's go to Andy in Central Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, I just had a question. If this was a situation where it was turned around, where it was a straight Christian went to a lesbian or gay business and asked them to do something that was against their beliefs, would they be able to deny it, or is it like a one-sided law here?
Of course, that's the $64,000 question. There is a case now. There is a case where that has actually come up, where Well, first, Theodore Shubat, not to make a legal case, but just to demonstrate this, reached out to 13 bakers that were gay activist-owned or gay-owned or straight ally-owned and asked them and recorded their responses, you know, did it by phone, if they would make cakes or cookies that had some inscription, you know, gay is not okay or homosexuality is contrary to the Bible, something like that. Everyone refused him. Every single one refused him. So the logical question, well, is anyone going to take them to court just to illustrate the absurdity of it? Because of course they should be able to refuse. Of course they should. Without question, just like the Christian should be able to refuse. And the Muslim who's asked to provide pork to cater a wedding should be able to say no thank you. And the Jew who's asked to photograph a wedding on the Sabbath should be able to say no thank you. Of course. Well, there is a case now in one state. It's being misreported that the guy wanted the inscription to say God hates gays. It was not that. It was a much more mild statement. But the baker refused. Absolutely not. So now this person's being taken to court. It's exposing the complete folly of this. And look, let's say you say, well, that's like racism. You're now justifying racism. And of course, there's no comparison between racism and judging someone by the color of their skin versus saying that all sexual behavior and all relationships are not the same. Two completely different things. But let's just say that you have a white supremacist who owns a print shop, and you go in there as a black couple and say, I'd like you to print up flyers for me celebrating an event we're having in commemoration of Martin Luther King Day and the end of segregation. And this guy says, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, it's ugly, but actually he can, and he just loses his business. Fine, suffer the consequences. But flip it around and think of a white supremacist going into a black-owned printer and saying, I'd like you to print up flyers for me for an event we're having saying that blacks are the manifestation of the devil. Of course they should be able to say no. Now, that's for a good cause, but that's just freedom of business. But no, no, no. If you're a Christian with a Christian conviction about morality and family, your rights go out the door. It is ridiculous. It's overreach. It's going to backfire. I'll say it again. The bullying will backfire. But Andy, you're spot on with your question. It reveals the heart of the issue.
Well, I appreciate that. And I just think, you know, the hypocrisy, the whole thing would be exposed if people realize that when they use fairness and equality to get these laws passed, that they're anything but.
Yes, sir. It has nothing to do with fairness and equality. It has to do with pushing through an agenda that is not an equal agenda. Tolerance means intolerance against all views except their own. Being inclusive means being completely exclusive against all other views. Diversity means my way or the highway. That is the gay activist semantic lexicon. And Andy, I had a situation some years ago where we were more active in our city dealing with these issues. By God's grace, we have much more of a national platform now, but we were focused especially on some city issues. And I noticed at the Gay Pride event that year that there was a new sponsor, Caribou Coffee. So they're a chain. They're not as big as Starbucks or anything, but they're a national chain. And they were now sponsoring the Gay Pride event. So I wrote to them on behalf of our coalition, the Coalition of Conscience, and I said, listen, how about if you're neutral on the culture wars? These are really divisive issues in our city. We're not asking you to put out a Bible in your place of business, but we are asking you to remain neutral in the culture wars. Would you do that? And they wrote back and said, no, we are supporting the community. We're supporting all different groups in the community, and we want to do this. So I wrote back and said, well, we are going to be having a pro-family event. It's going to celebrate marriage, obviously meaning male, female. It's going to celebrate the sanctity of life in the womb, and it's going to celebrate teen purity, sexual purity, abstinence. It's an event. It's going to be a citywide event. We've got some businesses that are already going to be sponsoring it. Will you sponsor it? And they wrote back and said, we will not work with you. You work with so-and-so, and we are inclusive. And because we are inclusive, this is the word they used. I have the letter. Because we are inclusive, we will not work with you. It is the ultimate doublespeak. It's George Orwell's doublespeak. It's the equality of Animal Farm, where some animals are more equal than others. And when the rubber meets the road, you find out that they're not all kinds of terrible cases throughout the city of people being terribly discriminated against and caused hardship. It tends to be the reverse. It is a ruling that basically seeks to silence people of faith and seeks to impose the struggles of a tiny, tiny minority for whom we care on the entire society and say, okay, if a man feels he's trapped in a woman's body, then all other women in the city have to be subject to his feelings if he wants to use their bathroom or perhaps even the locker room at the fitness club. Thank you for the call, Andy. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
When federal law is in conflict with state law, federal law wins out.
Was there anything you'd say to him?
I think that the courts at the federal level will have something to say to him.
This is our president speaking about Judge Roy Moore in Atlanta. Is Judge Moore a rogue rebel? Is Judge Moore an activist for righteousness? Before I get into that, have you read my latest article, Brian Williams and the Great Media Shakeup? You can do so by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and clicking on latest article. Let me tell you what prompted me to write that. Certain things get my attention. They may get your attention, too, when you'll see one, two, three, four, five things happen, boom, 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 right after each other that are all related. Sometimes, you know, you can't come up with any meaning for it. For example, I saw on the sports page within a few days two of the greatest coaches in college basketball history. Dean Smith and Jerry Tarkanian, they died. Now they're men in their 80s. They died within a few days of each other. I just noticed that. I thought, oh, isn't that interesting? But if it had been maybe three or four people, maybe they had all been patriarchs in the faith. Maybe they had been prominent in a particular political party. And I see all this, it's, I wonder, is there something to pray about? You have, for example, Miriam, Aaron, and Moses all dying right before it's time for the Israelites to cross the Promised Land. It's a clear time of transition. Sometimes deaths can mark that. Well, it was hard to miss it, but last week, within a three-day period, February 10th, Brian Williams, highly esteemed anchorman with NBC, is put on 6 months suspension. And I wonder how he'll ever make his way back after being caught in apparently several fairly embarrassing media lies. And then the same day, Jon Stewart of the Comedy Channel, a daily show, he announces he's stepping down. Boom! Out of the blue. Very much unexpected. And then, 2 days later, Bob Simon, kind of the patriarch of 60 Minutes, is a passenger in a limo, a town car limo. Terrible accident. He's killed. Man in his 70s. Obviously, absolute shock and devastation to his team and family. And then David Carr, who was called by the New York Times a journalistic celebrity, media columnist for the Times, he dies in his 50s of lung cancer. I'm not saying there's anything connecting all these things. I'm not saying that the death of Bob Simon and David Carr was some kind of judgment on them or secular media. No, God forbid. I'm not tying everything together except to say it all got my attention and it caused me to reflect and pray. And I wrote an article on it, Brian Williams and the Great Media Shakeup. You can read it in full, but I made 4 points. As I step back and think about it, one, lies will be exposed. Two, Something is wrong with your real-life experience if you need to exaggerate to advance yourself or your cause. Three, we need a massive overhaul in the reporting of news. Four, life is short. Live today in such a way that you will have no regrets tomorrow. Having said that, let's get back to Alabama. One of these situations that the nation is watching now. Judge Roy Moore is on with Fox News Sunday, Chris Wallace. Joy, we'll start with clip number five. And he's being asked quite directly about saying no to a federal judge or ultimately to the Supreme Court. Clip number five.
With 50 of the 67 now saying they're going to go ahead and issue those same-sex marriage licenses this next week, is this case basically settled?
No, far from it, Chris. This was this latest ruling by Judge Grenade merely pointed out what I said in my initial order, that she does not have power over anything but what's before her court. Even with that recent ruling, she has no power over the probate courts of Alabama. This is about an extension of power beyond federal authority.
All right, so he's saying by the law, that these judges, or this particular judge, they do not have authority to do what they're doing. Clip number six, again, the dialogue between Chris Wallace and Roy Moore.
You're saying that this has no effect on the other 66 counties?
Absolutely. We've got this federal intrusion into state sovereignty is occurring right under our nose, and nobody is standing up. 21 states have bowed down to federal court orders when they didn't have to. You know, we've got to understand that what a judge says is not law. Law is, by the United States Constitution, the laws of the United States, and our state constitution and its laws. But those are laws passed by the legislature, not by judges.
One more clip, and we'll just get this quickly. Clip number seven. Roy Moore, by the way, from what I understand, I can't verify details, but the population of Alabama is solidly behind Roy Moore. From what I understand, let's clip number seven.
What happens to the other 66 probate judges who are, 50 of them, who are continuing or say they're now going to begin issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples despite your order?
Despite my order, sir, the laws of the United States Supreme Court and the federal district court state very clearly that a state court's trial interpretation of a federal question is just as authoritative of any inferior court. That includes the federal district courts and the law and the federal courts of appeals. So that's law. I'm not making it up.
All right. This is a major, major issue. Everything will be hitting the fan on every level, probably towards the end of June when the Supreme Court issues its ruling. Whichever way they rule, I am believing that this will be a further wake-up call, a rally for us to stand for what is right. And I've written about that. My newest book out later this year, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, will fill you with hope and courage to stand and give you 8 practical principles, things that everybody can act on to help us outlast the gay revolution with God's principles for life. And you'll find the principles ultimately right in the Word. The more you can be a man or woman, a young person, an old person of the Word, the more your kids can be raised in the Word, the stronger our country will be. The more vibrant their faith will be, the more good they will do. By popular demand, we are now, for the third week out of 4, we are now once again making available the absolutely beautiful, that's the only way I can describe it, Family Bible, the Messianic Jewish version with Hebrew inscription embedded, the front and back. It's just amazing. Now that people are getting it, they're contacting us to say how thrilled they are. It's only $70. You can get it through us for $60, and we're paying the postage. Get as many copies as you want. You won't be disappointed. Trust me. To find out more, go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, you can watch a video there or call 1-800-278-9978 to order. You'll enjoy these. You'll be blessed. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, yes, yes, it's dark. It's getting darker. But this is what we've been born for. Let your light shine brightly.